So how many of you would be pleased and happy if the world got a little bit brighter today? Good, then say with me, I am responsible. Do you really mean that? You know, we always give lip service to the idea, be the change you want to see in the world. Well, I'm saying, no, live it, be it. We're going to talk about that today. I am responsible, and what follows I am is going to be following you. So be careful when you say, I am responsible. And be careful when you say and sing, I am responsible, because there is a vibrational increase, an amplification. We live in a universe that is set up for constant creation. Did you know that? We are in a universe that is in a circular creative process of evolution over and over and over again. We cannot escape it. Not that we would want to escape it, but we want to work with it. Yes? The very laws of the cosmos are an environment whereby life is continually manifesting life. Life is continually manifesting more life. And we, as cells within the body of the One, the divine design, the beautiful divine design, are blessed with complete and total control. And that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? Say it with me. I have complete and total control. Ooh, it's getting a little more personal. It went from I am responsible, feels good, to I have complete and total control over my reality. By design and by natural order, God as the great I am, say that with me, God as the great I am responds to you, responds to us, to our words, to our thoughts, to our actions, to our feeling and our consciousness. Therefore, yes, I am responsible. God as law. God, by whatever name you want to give it, as law, follows the leading of our consciousness, follows the leading of our language. And every time we speak the words, I am, we are giving direction to that presence. Every time. So what are you putting? Think about your last week. I'm going to talk a little bit about my last week. Everyone said, how was your vacation in New York? It was anything but a vacation in New York. I've really become a Georgian. I'm not too fond of New York. Sorry to all the New Yorkers in the room. I thought if I got out of the city, it would be okay. I went to upstate New York and Troy, which is a very small city. I was no happier there. But I noticed that I was putting a lot of I am statements into the universe during this trip. And I began to pay attention to what I was putting in the blanks after the words I am. I was giving direction to the presence. Our earthly experience will either be heaven or hell, based on the words that are following your I am statements. Choose your words carefully. Choose your thoughts very carefully. What follows I am follows me. Say that with me. What follows I am follows me. What's in the blank space is an indication of your consciousness, and what's in the blank space will be your experience, because you are responsible for the life you are living. Now, that's a very easy concept. It feels so good to come on Sunday morning. It's great. Yes, I'm responsible for my life when everything is working great, when all the people are showing up the way they're supposed to show up. Not so easy to swallow when things are falling apart. Not so easy to swallow when you are cursing as you move a couch up 3 flights of stairs to support your daughter and your back is breaking. And maybe not so easy when you're in the emergency room up in New York City. I won't go into that story, but everything is totally fine. But it's different. It's a little bitter pill to swallow that I am responsible when things are not working well. They say the truth will set you free, but first it's going to really tick you off. Yes? First it's going to tick you off. Well, it's a truth. This creative process is always at work. It's always moving, whether or not we like what's happening out here or not. And perhaps it is more potent in those difficult times, because during those difficult times, there is rampant emotion. When the emotions are high, the I am statements get amplified, the vibration is higher, and you're manifesting perhaps more of what you don't want. So I'm going to offer a message today. Charles is going to speak a little bit and do a meditation, but I wanted to offer a little bit in the form of a dialogue. It's a dialogue I had last week in Troy, New York, between myself and myself. A dialogue that I had between myself and the world as it was showing up at that moment that wasn't so pleasing to my eyes or my ears or my heart or my spirit. And it's a dialogue I had with the presence of God, by whatever name you want to give it, doing business within me. I invite you, each and every one of you, to bring a difficult situation into the room right now. We don't typically do that. I want you to bring some challenge that you're dealing with right now and to bring it right here present. And let this dialogue be a context for that dialogue that you are having. Let that be as close as the breath you just took, and see if this dialogue might not be important in your overcoming it or transcending it or becoming more of yourself. We're good with that? Here's the dialogue I had in Troy, New York, and one that I've had for 61 years. A whale washed up on my beach. Why it's here, where it came from, or what to do with it completely escapes me. This whale, this massively difficult, painful experience of life, calls me to do something courageous. Say something profound or feel something to bring about healing. Yet I stand speechless and numb as a sense of helplessness dominates my every faculty. I am lost. I am helpless. Recognize it? My mind searches for vain in answers, vain for the answers that must be here. Desperate to understand, desperate to figure out, desperate to explain, to rationalize. I am desperate. It only leaves my heart aching as I am left with the emptiness of not knowing what to do. I am confused. My ears and my hands, my eyes desperately search for assistance, yet nothing and no one appears. I am alone. I'm supposed to have the answers. I'm supposed to be the one with the answers, the solutions, the steps, the prayer, the magic spell. I know this whale, this divine idea, was once a thing of beauty and power and grace, but what I see before me now is a mass of suffering I can't wrap my head around. I am suffering. What happened? What happened to this divine idea, the divine miracle that it would end so tragically? Where is the divine creature now? I am questioning. I am judgmental. Where is God here? Why doesn't God do something? What kind of God would allow this to happen? I'm a good person. I am angry. Ever been there? I am looking for page 2. The rest of the story. Why doesn't the tide roll in and save this poor creature? Somebody do something. God, do something. Send somebody. This isn't my problem. Why do I have to deal with this? I am not enough. I want to walk away. I want to walk away and pretend it's not here. I am not responsible. I try to run, but I can't. I am paralyzed. So I circle around. I circle around, curiously gawking at this horrendous spectacle before me that I'm in the middle of, and I continue to wrestle with the question, why? Why? I fear that another whale might be right behind, making its way in the next wave to right on the sand where I am standing, and here I stand doing nothing because I am afraid. It's not real. It's not real. It's not happening. It can't be. Come on, God. Come on, God, do something. Silence. Just silence. I listen, yet there is only emptiness. I am empty. Not so bad. Until I hear the thundering crash of my faith as it washes up on the shore of my doubt, just like the whale did. I am in denial. I am in despair. At the bottom of the crash, at the release of my breath and the extinction of my human understanding, comes a stillness. I am still. A stillness that transcends the roar, that transcends the anger, the confusion, the desperation, and the fear. It's a moment like I have never felt before. I'm open. It is beyond my human comprehension. In the deafening hush comes a voice so faint that I must stop straining to hear it. I am. I am. That's it. I am. Again, only silence. And then again, in a lower tone, in a whisper, I am. There's a comfort in this voice that I don't understand. An awareness that in my listening, that I am slightly more peaceful. The voice continues. No more why. No more why. I am. But I have to know why. I have to know why, or I will go mad. It is only your own madness that makes you so desperate to know why. It's the desperate grasping and scratching and clutching at why that brought this wail here in the first place. I am. I am not anger. I am not fear. I am not frustration. Say it with me. I am. Well, so what are you then? Well, you might say that I am peace, yet I am more than peace. You might say that I am love, yet I am more than love. You can put that in the space. You could say that I am hope, yet I am beyond hope as well. I am. Something about the voice allows me to claim for myself, I am peace. I am love. I am hope. I am strength. It feels better than the previous words. But I have to do something. I have to do something. I have to respond. The voice continues, before you can respond, before you can do something, you have to be something. Before peace, I am. Before love, I am. Before strength, before courage, before hope, I am. Again, with me, I am. From the calmest part of my soul, I try it on for size. I am. And I feel a vibration, an allness, a completeness, a unity. I am. Yet I still feel an urge to fill in the blank. I am peace. I am love. I am courageousness. I am compassion. It helps. And the voice says, well, that's a step in the right direction. I am hope. I am love. Again, the voice instructs, that's a good step. Yet nothing has changed in the outer world. Keep stepping, chides the voice. Nothing needs follow. I am. I am is enough. Yes, I am love. Yes, I am peace. I am hope. I am all these things, but they're all effects. I am cause. I am. Again, I am. And I respond, I am present. You're getting closer. I am aware. Closer still. I am centered. Yes, my child, but go deeper. I am grounded. Keep stepping. I am one. Oh, you're very, very close. I am awake. One more step. I am. Together, I. Today, I am asking each of us to set aside every concept of God that you have ever been taught, including the one in a New Thought Church. I'm asking you to set aside anything you've ever believed about yourself. To set it aside, it'll be there when you want it. But to suspend any preconceived notions of yourself or God up to this moment. Put it down and feel the I am-ness of life. The undefinable, boundaryless essence. A place of being. A place of non-thinking. A place of non-feeling. Again, bring that situation close to mind and to heart. Maybe bring the world as we know it and the human race as we know it today. So many of us are looking for a way out, looking for a way around, or a way through what is happening. It's a way in. We're looking for enlightenment, but always at a distance. Some far-off distant adventure that we're not there. I'm saying it already exists within us. Always we're looking at the effects of the world. It's peaceful, I'm in heaven. It's stressful, I'm in hell. And we bounce back and forth based on what we put after I am. What if we are the great balancer, the great equilibrium, and we just say I am, and we vibrate at the level of who we are as God essence, as God being. I want you to repeat after me, I am the essence of presence. Together, I am the essence of presence. I am the presence of essence. I am the presence of him. What if that was all that was needed? You see, enlightenment comes through the door of being, not learning. Enlightenment comes through the door of being, not doing, not changing, not thinking, not feeling. I am is a cause. And enlightenment will not come through changing effects, but only by being the cause that we know ourselves to be. Yes? Here's the truth. All there is God. There's a basic unity principle. All there is God. Look to your left. Look to your right. In front of you, behind you. Look at the mirror. All there is God. Plain and simple. And we have been playing small for too long. Waiting for God to do something. I am. I am. Send somebody. Send somebody. I did send somebody. I sent you wearing the skin that you are in. I am the presence of God. Therefore, we are that I am. If all there is the one I am presence, we are it. Tag, you're it. Be the change you want to see. And to the extent that we realize this, we no longer see ourselves as a byproduct of God, but the thing itself, the energy itself, the essence of presence. We are God in human form. Oh my God, blasphemy. It is blasphemy to not claim that truth. We have sold the biggest lie on the planet that some of us have it and some of us do not have it. It's time that that lie stops. Say it with me, I am. Feel it at the depth of who you are and say it again, I am. We have never been and never will be anything but the I am, and we have been asleep. Our job is not to fix what is broken. It is to be awake to that which has never been touched by brokenness, never been touched by being an emergency room, never been touched by moving a couch up 3 flights of stairs and not knowing how to do it and being somewhat less ministerial in your language than you'd like to be. What follows I am is witnessing an experience. So I'm carrying it a step further. What follows I am is about witnessing an experience. Good, bad, peace, hell, whatever you want to call it. At the core, we are not the experience. At the core, we are the thing. We are not the relationship, we're not the condition, we're not the couch, we're not the doctors in the emergency room, we're not the medicine, we are it. The vibration of oneness, of God. I am precedes healing. Say that with me. I am precedes healing. I am precedes change together. I am precedes creativity. I am precedes invention. I am precedes. I am cannot be shrunk. I am cannot. How many of you have shrunk the I am by what you're putting after I am? God has been shrunk by religion for way too long. God has been shrunk by a whole bunch of us who have decided it was easier to play small, to be angry, to worry about what was in the blank instead of just being that which we seek, being the vibration. It's time to unshrink God. It's time to unshrink the I am that is showing up in your life and in your skin. The Taoists say that the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. So how about we don't name it, we just be it? How about we quit arguing about how God is showing up and just let it show up as us in this moment, right here, right now? Hindu teachings, this is our job. Our job as human beings is to take these Hindu teachings, neti, 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 neti. You hear Avril say it all the time. Not this, not this, not that, not peace, not frustration, not fear, not anything. I am that. I am that, period. I'm not all this stuff. Meister Eckhart, the 13th century mystic, said that God is not found in the soul by adding anything, and religion has said we got to keep adding. We have complicated theology. We have complicated the journey to God. But Meister Eckhart says it's a process of subtraction. Neti, neti. Not this, not that. I am. Say it again with me. I am. My life is a living testimony to getting to the I am, and I would love to say that I live there. I did not live there this last week, but I got back home there this last week. Thank God for the teachings that helped me remember who I was. That's all I had to do. Nothing changed in the outer. Well, it did change because I changed. Suddenly, the couch that was stuck on the second floor, unable to move around this bend, suddenly Superman showed up at the top of the stairs because I found I am, and Superman said, here, let me get it. And a guy that was 8 feet tall just grabbed that thing and yanked it. Get out of my way, little man. He was an I am presence, and he knew to do what he had to do. He did not have a God that had been shrunk or a power that had been shrunk. He was a New Yorker who'd moved many a couch up 4, 5, 6 flights of stairs. Jewish tradition has the word Yahweh. Yahweh, which many people say means God. And it does in a certain degree. But if you look at the word Yahweh and in the Hebrew word, it just means to be. Yahweh or not Yahweh. To be or not to be. And I'm asking you that question today, Bill and Joel and Marianne, to be I am or not to be I am. That's our choice, the only choice that we really have, no matter what's happening in the outer world individually and what's happening collectively, to be or not to be, to be the presence of God or not. And to do anything else, to worry about what's in the blank afterwards, is what the Buddhists call Maya. And what is Maya? It is suffering. If I am concerned that the blank after I am always has to be peace, always has to be love and hope, I'm setting myself up for suffering. So how about we get rid of the blank, put a big exclamation point on it, and say to the world, I am. And that's enough. I'm vibrating at the level of God being. When I make a shift from the I am of this and I am of that, when I make the shift from defining myself by what I do or what I could do or about what I feel or what I don't feel, about what I think or what I don't think, I'm in Maya. I'm in suffering. I am the energy of God itself. And I'm going to invite you to say it one more time before I invite the I Am presence known as Charles Holt up here. Take your hand, place it on your heart. And I want you to hear me clearly. What you're about to say is enough. You don't need anything else after it. We'll say it 3 times together, and I want you to each time go to a level of depth as you peel yourself back to the God essence that chose to have expression through you. Together, I am. Again, I am. And now to the rafters and to the world that needs you, God doing business as you, together, I am. I'd like to invite Charles Holt to come up here and to speak about the I am. He's an amazing teacher, he's an amazing healer, and he's living exactly what I talked about today. He's demonstrating it. He's got story after story after story of demonstrating it, so I wanted to give him the mic and let you see that he's not just a great singer, he's an amazing speaker as well. Charles.
Thank you, Reverend Burdick. So, the I am, right? That's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's easier said than done. I've been a performer for a long time. I was in Lion King on Broadway, a Jesus Christ superstar, and did some great stuff, right? And then all of a sudden, my life took a turn. It was April 2020. You remember that, right? How can we not forget? And I was washing vegetables in my sink. I like to cook, too. It's therapeutic. And my mind started to turn. What's going to happen? The life of uncertainty. You're trying to pull up this I am and all of these things that you've learned, right? These principles. You're trying to stay in this consciousness. But as you wash, things begin to spiral down in your mind. And all of a sudden, I thought, everything that I've done has somehow been wrong. Have you ever been there? When you really can't see in front of you sometimes, and when it seems like everything is just bleak, you've tried everything, I am, I am, I am. I've sung the song, I am. I've tried to convey to the lyrics in that song that I helped write, but nothing is working. And I go down this spiral, this rabbit hole of thinking, my life is done. Everything I do is on stage. I sing on stage, I speak on stage, I do in person everything. And I got to the place where I just went there. 45 minutes, I'm still washing vegetables. And then all of a sudden, have you ever gone swimming and gone too deep for too long? And you realize you're running out of breath. And you're trying to get up, back up to the surface just so you can breathe. That's what happened. So all of a sudden, I take this breath and it's, and I wake up. I'm still washing the vegetables. And something says, oh my, you went there. How could I though? I thought I had peeled back all of these onions of the I am, and I am this and I am that, and I spoke into existence the life that I want to live. The life that I think I'm here to live, the purpose. And then came this small voice, and it said, do you remember when everything was possible in your life? When everything was feasible, there was nothing you could not do. And if something that you wished upon at that time was not ready to manifest, you went to the next thing, but you knew that that would come to pass because you had said it, what? In a conscious motion in your mind. Do you remember that, Charles? Do you remember? And I said, yes, it was when I was 5 years old. Five. My higher self said, well, he's here and he's helping you get back to that place where you know that even though things don't look like they're moving to the eyes of appearances, you know somewhere deep inside, peel back another onion, Charles. Keep peeling, keep peeling. I said, well, it's making me cry. They said, yeah, that's it. That's it. But you're getting to the core, the core of who you are. This has come to get you to go inside. Go in, because the way in is the way out. I say to you that this I Am presence, it is the way in. It's the way out of any situation, and of course, the resurrected breath, as I call it. Not only did I come back to normal breathing, but I also understood that all of those dreams and all of those things that I wished for had also resurrected too. I knew that I could have that. I knew that I could go back and be on Broadway again if I wished to. I knew that I could do more television and film. I knew that the freedom that I came here to reveal and demonstrate was right there with me. So in this moment, let's just take a breath together. Knowing that right where we are, the presence of the I Am is right next to us. It's closer to us than our breathing. It is what we are. And we give great thanks, for gratitude sends us, it catapults us into this next assignment that is so looking forward to us to showing up. What is it? It shall be revealed. Great Spirit, oh God, presence divine, whatever you want to call it, it's right here because it is you. How great thou art, O God. How magnificent, marvelous, magnanimous, great, grand, and glorious thou art. We give thanks for being here. Great thanks for this energy of healing that is coursing through our veins right now. It's called blood and it's called life force. We give great thanks for it, for we have another opportunity to listen with the ear, the inner ear of what that is speaking to us in the moment, where to go, what to do, what to say, who, what, when. And then knowing that we'll leave the how up to you. Father, Mother God, we thank you for these trees. We thank you for the nature that surrounds us. We thank you for everything that we see because we know that it has come from a manifested place of miracle in the mind and the consciousness first. We thank you for everything that is living around us. Everything that is us, we give great thanks for this. And we shall not sit in despair. We shall not sit in disappointment, but we will continue to ask, what is that 5-year-old saying to me now? What is it? And then we'll move into that direction, knowing that everything is working out for our good. We give great thanks for this, the word spoken. The word spoken. Taking another breath here, all together, and releasing.